Jesus leads his exodus, Luke 22, verses 1 to 53. The festival of the unyeasted bread, which is called Passover, was near. This was the time that people remembered their readiness to leave everything behind, to follow the Creator out of their slavery to civilization. The leaders of the temple caretakers and the biblical scholars were trying to figure out how to kill Jesus without upsetting the crowds. Frustrated by Jesus' refusal to lead a violent revolution, Judah Daggerman, who was one of Jesus' inner circle, began to be filled with the satanic desire to be in control. So Judah Daggerman approached the leaders of the temple caretakers and the police captains with the goal of betraying Jesus to them in the hope that this would force Jesus to begin the revolution. These authorities rejoiced and eagerly gave Judah a very large sum of money for doing this. With his heart seduced by this money and wealth, Judah turned his back on Jesus and declared his loyalty to the temple authorities. He then began searching for an opportunity to give Jesus over to them when the crowds weren't present. When sundown came on Thursday, the Passover day began and the time to sacrifice the Passover lamb approached. So Jesus sent Peter and John Zebedee, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover meal for us so we may eat it together." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" Jesus said to them, "I have planned everything ahead of time for this day. So when you enter the city, a person carrying a jug of water will meet you. Follow him into the city and into the house he enters. Then you must tell the owner, 'The teacher would like you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover with his apprentices. This man will show you a large upstairs room. There you will prepare the meal for us.'" So going into the city, they found it exactly as Jesus had said, and they began preparing the Passover meal. When the hour for the meal of remembrance came, Jesus sat down with his representatives that were the foundation of his new community. Jesus said to them, "I planned everything so that I could eat this Passover remembrance with you before the authorities get their hands on me. For I say to you, I will not eat it again till it is fulfilled by the arrival of the Creator's rule." Taking the first of four Passover cups of wine, which symbolized the Creator's people as set apart from civilization, Jesus gave thanks and said, "Take this cup and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink wine again until the Creator's rule has come upon the earth." Taking the Passover bread, which symbolized the struggle and difficult journey to freedom, Jesus gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is being given over to suffering in order to set you free. Feed on me as the bread of life. Then go do the same for others in my memory, laying down your lives to set them free." Likewise, after dinner, Jesus took the last Passover cup of wine, which symbolized the Creator's rescue of his people from slavery to false lords, and said, "My blood, which I am pouring out to set you free, is bonding you in a new relationship with the Creator, centered around my life and teachings. Pay attention to how I love and give myself for you. I am even eating with one who will betray me. The human one and his community will be betrayed, but those who betray them will be condemned." Startled, the apprentices began trying to figure out who it was that was going to betray Jesus to the authorities. This led to a competition among them about which of them was the greatest and best apprentice. Frustrated, Jesus said to them, "The rulers of the nations are all about climbing social ladders and competing for power and authority. And they even think they are doing everybody a favor when they are ruling and in charge. But you in my community must never be like the rulers of the nations. Rather, the greatest among you must empty his ego, and whoever is your leader must live like a servant. For who do you think is truly the greatest in the Creator's eyes? Is it the one who is selfishly lying down or the one who is serving others? It is not the one lying down. Look at how I am living in your midst as a humble servant. Listen, you are the ones who have faithfully remained with me during all the struggles of my ministry. I am bonding myself to you just as my Father did with me. You will eat and drink at my table in the Creator's rule. You will even sit as the leaders and judges of the Creator's faithful people. Simon Peter, you must pay special attention. This satanic desire to be in control wants to test you and see how faithful you truly are. I begged to my Father on your behalf so that your trust will not completely fail. When you get back up from your failure and turn back to following me, you must help your brothers stand firm on the path of faithfulness once again." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you wherever this leads, even if that means prison and death." Jesus replied to him, "I say to you, Peter, before the rooster cries out this very day, you will reject all association with me 3 times. Then Jesus said to his apprentices, "When I sent you out to completely rely on the Father, with no money, pack, or sandals, did you ever lack anything that you truly needed?" They said, "We lacked nothing. Everything we needed was provided for us." Jesus said to them, "Never forget that. But now, if you have any money or a pack, bring it with you. And whoever does not have a sword, go sell your coat and buy one. For I say to you, it is time for your faith in the Creator to be tested. And it is also necessary for the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah to be completed in me. He was found among those who do not obey the Creator or rely on him. For that which was written about me is coming to its completion." They said, "Lord, look, we already have 2 swords. Shaking his head, Jesus said to them, "That is plenty. It only takes 1 sword to stop relying on the Creator." Leaving the city, Jesus and his apprentices went, according to his nightly custom, to the Mount of Olives. When they got there, Jesus said to his apprentices, "Humble yourselves in prayer to the Father, so that you have the strength to stand firm in your time of testing." Jesus went about a stone's throw away from them and submissively fell to his knees in prayer, saying, "Father, I beg you to take this path of suffering, rejection, and death away from me, if it is your desire. Nevertheless, I want you to fulfill your desires, not mine." The Creator put his hand upon Jesus to strengthen him. But still being in great agony and filled with terror about the path ahead, Jesus began praying more fervently. His sweat became like thick drops of blood falling to the ground. Finishing up his time of prayer, Jesus went back to his apprentices and found them sleeping. Their sorrow over the whole situation had overwhelmed them. Jesus said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, so you have the strength to stand firm in the hour that is coming." While Jesus was still speaking to them, Judah Daggerman, one of the 12 representatives, showed up with a crowd. Judah went up to Jesus and embraced him. Jesus said to him, "Judah, why are you betraying me while pretending to be my friend?" Suddenly, realizing what was happening, those with Jesus yelled out, "Lord, we will fight for you!" One of them swung his sword, intending to deliver a fatal blow. But instead, he cut off the right ear of one of those who was there to arrest Jesus. Responding, Jesus said to his apprentices, "After all of our time together, how could you dare commit such violence?" Jesus embraced his enemy's head and healed him. Then turning to those who came out to arrest him, the leaders of the temple caretakers, the temple police officers, and the patriarchs of the powerful and wealthy families, Jesus said, "Have you really come out here with swords and weapons, as though you were arresting a violent terrorist? I was with you every day in the temple, and you never had the courage to arrest me. But go ahead and arrest me. This is your brief hour of thinking that you have won."